when the right people come together at the right moment, when they care almost as much about winning as they do about each other, they can become the best of the best.
Welcome to the best soccer show. The best soccer show in the whole world.
Here we go! It's the best soccer show. Jason Davis, Jared Dubois, live following a U.S. victory 5-1 over Panama in Orlando, Florida. The United States men's national team is not officially qualified for the World Cup later this year. But, Jared, the only way they don't get there, and the only way they don't get to a playoff even, is by screwing the pooch royally in Costa Rica. We're good, right? We're good. We feel
this
good.
This is like when you go to the bar and you turn 21 at midnight, but you go the night before and it's 10 p.m. and you're like, "Come on, guy! I'm gonna be 21 in 2 hours."
Right.
Let me in the door.
Go ahead. Yeah, dude. It's all good. Like, you're not gonna, don't just let me have a drink. It's all good. I'm gonna be 21 right now. Speaking of going out, 21st birthday or otherwise, and I know that you were not. I don't know how rowdy you got. I know you spent some time hanging out with a bunch of dudes in San Diego and doing some stuff. I happen to have been in a fraternity for a little while. Plus, you know, I had some 20s where maybe some mistakes were made, some decisions were poor. When you saw Christian Pulisic going absolute ballistic over whatever was going on, Panama taking shots, throwing the ball at him, and Tyler Adams, whoa, bro. How many bros do you think Tyler Adams said in about 30 seconds?
There's a good 3 or 4 bros right there.
Oh, there was like, way more than that. It was like, bro.
You know, Tyler Adams, though, like paid almost 90 minutes the other night, played another 60-some tonight in 2 chippy games, no yellow card. Like, no. The dude's a grown-ass man.
Yeah.
That's the most mature of all of our 20-year-olds there.
We had a night to remember. And look, does this wipe away all of the stuff that was questionable during the whole process? No, of course not, right? There are things that Greg Berhalter will still need to address going into the game against Costa Rica on Wednesday, because you don't want to lay an egg. There's, I don't know what's the number, Jared? Let's just do this. Let's get it out of the way. What would it take for Costa Rica to catch the United States on Wednesday?
Okay, so we gave up 1 goal at the end, so it means our goal differential is currently 10, I believe. So a 5-goal...
Oh, it was plus 9, then they scored the 5th.
No, I believe it was 11.
It was 11, and then they took it back to 10. Okay.
And because we're playing Costa Rica, it's half the goal differential.
Right.
So, because every time they score, we lose one. So I believe it's a 5-0 win for Costa Rica brings us level, and I don't know what the second tiebreaker is. And that's me just doing fuzzy math off the top of my head, but I believe that's
okay,
correct.
Okay, so Trooper Barry here with the numbers. It's plus 10 for the United States, or plus 13, rather, for the United States, plus 3 for Costa Rica. So if Costa Rica beat us 5-0, that swings it, ours down 5, theirs up 5, and now we're level, right? Does that make sense?
Yeah, but I don't know what the second tiebreaker is. If let's say Costa Rica does win 5-0,
Wait. If our goal differential is plus 13 and theirs is plus 3.
And they're plus 3. It's 10 between the two of us.
Okay. I'm making sure that I understand. Okay, so they would be plus 8, we would be plus 8. Okay.
Here's the way. You qualify with a win, you qualify with a draw. Mm-hmm. And you qualify with a loss of 4-0 or less.
Okay, which you know, even at our
5-0 might be okay. I'm not sure.
No, I think somebody's saying it's 6. Like 6, Fox kept saying 6. Whatever, it's a big number, right? So goals scored is the second after the goal differential. Okay. So, you know, the chances that the United States lays that sort of egg in Costa Rica. I know we've had some horror shows in Costa Rica, right? Bob Bradley had a disaster in Costa Rica back in the day. Despite that, I don't think there's any real chance that the U.S. is going to do that, right? We should be able to defend.
If you're Costa Rica, one of the keys is to make this dirty early and hopefully draw cards on players. You want to get up 10 men, up a man, to send U.S. down to 10 men somehow. Like, make it dirty, give a lot of press, you know, make it chippy, and play the game you want to play. Don't let the U.S. Have the ball. Now, the question is, will Greg Berhalter invite his team to play the way they did today, or to play a kind of bunker ball, try not to lose by 5? Like, is it smart to come out with a don't lose by 5 mentality, or take it to them, score goals?
I think that you're just going to make sure that you have extra guys between, say, midfield and your goal line. So you're going to pack the midfield a little bit more.
So is it 4-4-2 or is it 4-3-3?
I don't think he changes his formation. Yeah, he's just going to ask guys to do different things. Again, he's going to have a second midfielder drop in with Adams. He's going to play. The fullbacks are not going to play as nearly as high as they usually do. They're certainly not going to look to overlap and to make those runs as much as they did tonight, as much as they normally do. So you're end up leaving your center, your forward line on an island a little bit, right? Which, you know, that's fine.
Maybe. I think the U.S. is good enough to take it to him a bit. You know, here's the thing. I think Reyna starts that game. You saw the difference when he comes into the game.
By the way, my boy Gio Reyna, first of all, he got big, right? Everybody's talking about he grew a lot. Like, even when injured, he somehow grew like two inches. A haircut gives him a little bit of an edge that, like, a scary, like, that's the dude you don't mess with when he got a haircut like that. And he wants...
Is that his haircut, though? Is that a haircut that matches Gio Reyna?
No, it kind of looks like his dad's
That's
haircut,
like when
right?
Chris Mueller got like a line in his hair, and I was like, okay, well, I don't know.
Gio Reyna wants to embarrass people. He waits. He baits defender. By the time he came in the game was over effectively anyway. So I guess he had some freedom to do that. But the dude baits people so he can embarrass them. Like, he wants to do that. You see him getting chippy at the end, like chirping a little bit. Nearly drew.
It's smart, though, because U.S. needed to stop the ball. There's too much momentum going to Panama's way, and they needed to kind of stop the game a little bit, see it out. And Gio Reyna played a grown-ass man's 45 minutes because first 20 minutes, 25 minutes, maybe even 30, very involved in the offense, everywhere, pulling strings, slotting balls, looking fantastic. The last 15, you barely saw him going forward because he knew the job was to see out the game.
Yeah.
Go back and watch. When you see him on the field, you'll be like, I don't see him. Where is he? He's backed by Anthony Robinson consistently, making sure this game gets seen out.
And by the way, that's why, I don't want to get too deep into the roster stuff, right? Well, first of all, let's highlight the performance of Shaq Moore. Fresh off the plane, plays a damn good right back for 90 minutes.
For me, man of the match. And I know a lot of people are going to get, like, I think Shaq Moore, if Gerberhalter's handing out a game ball after this game, it's hard not to give it to the guy with three goals and Christian Pulisic, but Shaq Moore off a plane, a workman's 90, and just up and down the field all night long.
We got a bunch of stuff to do. We had some technical issues before the show. Let me just see. Okay. Want to make sure that, first of all, I just hand that out to Christian Pulisic for his third goal. There's that. Shaq Moore, Christian Pulisic, Giovanni Reyna. Lots to talk about. Phone line's open. So we're obviously here in a bit of a celebratory mood. It's not done, but it's effectively done.
I was going to bring champagne on the show, but I mean, I can't be jinxing it.
I got a bottle. I got a bottle sitting in the fridge right now. Let's go to Felix in Chicago, who always calls us up to talk about his impressions. Felix, you're on the Best Soccer Show, man. What's up?
Hey, guys. Yeah, a couple of things. First off, I think it's funny that if there was two players that were in that starting lineup that everybody would have had their, you know, their typical flip-outs about, it was Shaq Moore being called in front of Joe Scally, right? And then Shaq Moore went out and had a good game. And then Pariola started, which I'm sure had everybody, you know, whatever, hitting their heads against the wall, and then he had a goal and assist. So I think the first point I wanted to make wasn't like trying to troll people about anything like that, because that's stupid, but how sometimes we have to understand the goal is to qualify. And sometimes it's just about playing certain players who are able to do a job.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And even though if it's someone we don't rate, you know, if they can perform a role, and the way Panama likes to play, Panama likes to push their fullbacks up to create chances. So that means there's going to be space behind those fullbacks. So you're going to want a true winger out there who's going to want to take advantage of that space. And I love Reyna and Pulisic as much as everybody else, but that's not necessarily their game. So it's great to have a Giovanni Reyna in your back pocket that you can drop in when you need to, whether in the midfield or higher up, if the game needed that. And then you can put one of your wingers out there to take advantage of that space that Panama is going to leave. So that was kind of one of the first point I wanted to make. Yeah. And then I had something else I wanted to ask.
Felix, one thing I want to be careful, like a parallel that we make, and I've seen it made in the chat a few times now too. Shaq Moore gets called in, has a great game. So, people talk about Scally when we bring in Shaq Moore. Like, it's not necessarily a... Is there something you want to say, Jason?
No, I'm with you. I'm following you along. Okay. I'm about to agree with you, man.
You're doing sign language on the screen. I don't know what you're doing.
I'm connecting the dots, man.
So
go.
What I'm saying is that there is a by absence, Joe Scally is somehow like, oh, he wouldn't have done a good job. We don't know what Joe Scally would have
done. Exactly. We don't know.
We have no idea what kind of game he would have
been just as good, if not better, than Shaq Moore.
We can't say Shaq Moore was called in on a moment's notice, flew across the pond, and had himself a game. Does that put Joe Scally further behind? Maybe in Berhalter's mind, because Berhalter draws on experience with the national team. One of the things he talked about and why Shaq Moore's pulled up, because he played in the Gold Cup, and he did well in the Gold Cup.
The argument about Joe Scally isn't, should Joe Scally have been called now? Because, again, Berhalter knew something about Shaq Moore. The argument about Joe Scally is, why didn't he call Joe Scally in September or in October or whenever, right? That's obviously September was early. He hadn't even really played yet for Mönchengladbach. But by the time we got, you know, 3-4 windows in, Joe Scally had a resume behind him, right? He had been there. He had been doing some things. But I don't know that the timelines really match up for you to make this incredibly, you know, in-depth, serious argument about Joe Scally over Shaq Moore. And really, that's not the point. Somebody said, look, Dan's saying Scally shouldn't be in tonight's conversation. Look, that's not a slight to Joe Scally. That's it. Shaq Moore did what he was asked to do when he came in to replace Reggie Cannon, who would have played in that game if he wasn't COVID-19 ineligible, and DeAndre Yedlin, who would have started probably at least 2 out of 3 games if he was healthy. We're talking about a guy way down the bench.
There's a part of the conversation that has to start happening, too, about, at this point, everybody out there thinks they can coach this team better than Berhalter.
I mean, I know
Berhalter has this team about to qualify for the World Cup, you know, and at the end of the day, that was his job. And if this is the guy that he feels is going to get him there, more power to him. Well, how much equity has Berhalter made over the last couple, this window?
With us?
I think it's just the American fan base in general. His job is almost accomplished.
I don't want to do this.
Well, let's ask Felix. Felix on the line. Felix, what do you think? How much equity has Berhalter gotten with you?
Yeah, Felix, your opinion.
As much as I had with him before, I don't think he's the greatest coach ever. You know, I don't think he's the worst. I'm probably a little bit more positive on him than maybe than I think the echo chamber is possibly saying. But that's kind of what I feel about him. Probably maybe slightly more positive on him than the average fan. That's kind of my thoughts on him.
Yeah. I think that the average fan, and I don't know if our listeners, shout out to every single one of you. We love you all. I don't know if you're the average fan. You're not. You're buying into this. You're listening to us. The people who listen to all the other stuff that's out there, the YouTube guys, the podcast, I don't know if they're the average fan. I don't know if the people on Twitter who have a U.S. men's national team player or Berhalter out in their avatar are the average fan. Probably not. They're probably not the average fan, right? Go ahead.
From D-Mac in the chat, yeah, but the growth of the team is not progressing.
I think that's an insane argument.
You look at this team and the players that are the evolution over the last year of most of these players in their 20s and not think this team is progressing?
We're talking about whether you think they should be progressing faster or in a way that is more dominant.
That's fair.
That's different, right? That's a different thing.
But don't say they're not progressing.
I don't want to turn this into a referendum on the fans and how they feel about this. The bottom line is that we went through hell 5 years ago as a fan base because the U.S. screwed it up and didn't qualify, right? And we had a reckoning over that. We had a whole autopsy. We spent months and months and months and months and months talking about what was wrong with U.S. soccer, what was wrong with the men's national team. They spent a year trying to pick a coach, letting Dave Sarokin twist in the wind. By the way, hats off to Dave Sarokin real quick, because if they do qualify, that man earns some credit for this. Like, he should get, you don't give a ring for a qualification. There's no medal. There's nothing, you know, you haven't won anything. But we should, like, fet Dave Sarokin a little bit and give that dude some credit, right? So they let him twist in the wind for a year. He introduces Weston McKennie. He introduces a bunch of young guys. Yeah. Then they give the job to Berhalter. And I hated it. Look, I hated the process. I hated the fact that there was any allegation at all that was possible about the nepotism with his brother there. I don't know that he got hired because of his brother, but it sure as hell looked bad, right? Whatever it was, it looked bad. Greg Berhalter came in having won nothing, having been a pretty decent MLS coach, and having had a national team resume. That was it as a player. That's it. That's all he had, right? We weren't wowed by it. Now, I don't know if anybody else was lining up for the job. And I can tell you right now, if you're looking at Mexico and you're going, I'd rather have Tata Martino. I'm not sure he'd rather have Tata Martino, okay? So that doesn't mean Tata's not a better coach than Greg Berhalter. It just means in this situation, there were so many unknowns. To get to this point, whatever you think of him and whether you think he's going to help us get to a quarterfinal at the World Cup or not, the guy did a difficult job. right? He did a difficult job by bringing in an extremely inexperienced team through a qualifying process and getting to this point. There you go.
Felix, you got a last take?
Yeah, one more thing I wanted to bring up. And let me say, first of all, I'm not, of course, I'm ecstatic about the game, but that's what they should have done, right? I think all of our expectation was that they should have taken it to Panama. And it, in a game with this much pressure, we should have done this well. So, of course, I'm happy. But, you know, outside of saying what everybody else is going to be saying, you know, I just wanted to bring some different thoughts to it. So my next thought was going to be the next game. Let everybody else pine on about today. Is what would you do different in terms of starting lineup? I think we're going to play the way we play. But in terms of starting lineup, what would you do different outside of the obvious, like yellow cards and guys maybe with little niggling injuries? Would you go, how experimental would you go with your center backs? How up top, you know, would you do with the number nine position? That's my last question to you guys.
I'm going to let you go, Felix. So we got some other people that we want to get on the air. But, Jared, I don't know that there's like a – I mean, look, in terms of experimental, you don't know that you're starting EPB. Is that what we're talking about here? I mean, I think Aaron Long is going to start.
Out of position at right back. Yeah. I don't think you go too crazy here. The job's not done. The simple question thing is the job's not done and it's a defensive challenge the next game. It'd be great to put a couple goals on the board, but essentially don't give up five. That's basically your job.
Yeah.
Don't give up five goals for the next 4 years of your life. That's what this is about.
I think we can see, you know, again, the guys that get that are the effort guys who maybe aren't as skilled as some of the other choices. Certainly they're not first choice guys, first 11 guys. I think you're likely to see them. Now, I'm not saying Aaron Long's in that group, but I think based on the time that Aaron Long has played, he's likely to get a start if his fitness is there. He didn't start tonight. Was that a fitness issue? Or was that just
Zimmerman's
Miles
played
and
all of both games? So
Zimmerman's not playing. I mean, he's not starting. He will be on the bench. Don't you think?
I don't know. Zimmerman's this guy. He's the best defender we've had during the over the course of qualifying. If your job, do you want to change up that partnership? Man, I don't know. Long's his boy too, though. That's a tough one. Obviously, Tyler Adams is going to be playing, likely starting. You don't sub him otherwise. There's no reason to sub him if you're not planning on starting him in that next
game.
Good point.
Granted,
yellow card thing's out there, but Pulisic too.
What yellow card thing? He picks up a yellow card now in the next game. It doesn't matter. Who cares?
I'm saying by subbing him, you avoided that.
You thought
you were going to sub him in later
in the
game.
Right, protection against the yellow card. But that means he is going to play him, right? Because
I think so. I think he starts. I think Yedlin's likely to switch out for Shaq Moore in this game. Shaq Moore, I don't know if he picked up a knock or just cramping at the end of the game.
Yeah, something there.
I think it's going to be Zimmerman and Zimmerman and Miles. I think they go again.
Interesting.
Because here's the thing. You're not resting Anthony Robinson, right? Anthony Robinson's starting.
I mean, that dude. I almost feel guilty sometimes watching him play and picking apart. He does have a tendency to make some silly passes. Like, that's just a thing about his game.
He's also working his ass off.
And he's busting his ass, and he covers so much ground up and down the line. And
he doesn't run. He gallops.
He does. He has a looping run. All right, we do have a bunch of calls. I don't want to make it just about us. Let's make it about you guys. Call us up, 717-727-2378. The number's right there on the screen. Alex, who was in Orlando at the game, what's up?
Yes, okay, so... forgetting tactics, forgetting all of that, this was the first time I've seen this team kind of just moving with the feel of the entire stadium. It was great. It was great. The team played with so much energy. Honestly, couldn't ask for more of a performance. Pulisic stepped up, had the game he needed to have. Man, it was just a great game. It was a great thing to experience.
Yeah, like I think that they responded. I mean, the first 10 minutes, Jared, did bother me a bit. I mean, I was nervous, right? I didn't feel like we're meeting Panama's level. Yeah,
but Panama's the one that had to really kind of take it to us. They were behind on points. You know, they need to get a result away from home.
And points, whatever that is. I like that, too. I don't know what points are. But, you said they're behind on points and points. Two things.
That's how we say it in California. But I'll say this. Alex, what did you think from the environment inside Orlando? It sounded great over the TV. But those first 10 minutes, it seemed like there was a tackle at some point or a car. It was a foul that didn't go our way. And it took about that point the crowd really got into it. Was the crowd have a slow start or was that just a reaction to the team?
So to me, it started with the crowd just kind of being upset with the ref. A lot of calls going Panama's way. But after the U.S. gained some momentum, it was only the U.S. from then on. And it was great. And I'd say like 90% of the stadium was U.S. fans. You could not hear any Panamanian fans in the stadium. So Orlando is definitely a home for the men's national team moving forward, I would say.
I mean, I guess Panama is, because now they're a combined 9-1 in terms of the score line against Panama in Orlando. Alex, you got any final thoughts?
No, that's it, man. Love the show.
All right. Appreciate it.
Goes out. Sorting the team in person, man.
Alex, who was there. Let's see. My boy Frank in the OC, our boy Frank in the OC, who calls me up on the radio show sometimes. Jared, did you know that I also have a radio show I get to celebrate this on tomorrow? Did you know about
that? I do. For the first time, yeah. I got to listen to it the other day on my drive down from San Francisco.
Yeah.
And you had a fan. You had a caller on that show. And I wanted to call in so bad and just smack this guy, sensing this dude. Like, you had a guy calling in like, why are we playing this game in Florida
instead
of taking it to a cold weather thing like we did in Minnesota to get the advantage? I'm like, because you're having to fly to the Azteca and then to Costa Rica. Why are you going to go up to the north, make every one of these flights longer and go up to the northeast?
I love when they get those calls and I'm like, I explain something as simple as that. And he's like, oh, yeah, I guess that's true. Like, I guess it is, man. Hold on. Let me do it. Oh, it's not playing. All right. I don't know what's going on with the board. All of a sudden, it doesn't want to work. I was going to drop the thing that that Nick likes me to play, the WNBC thing. But I also gave a shout out to your boys. I hope they heard it, because
they did. They were
you
stoked.
Did kind of poke me to do that, and I was like, I saw that you were listening. I was like, okay, well, I got a shout
out.
I
was holding him captive, listening to soccer radio. So
yeah, of course, they didn't want to be there. All right, Frank, what's up, man?
What is up, you guys? Super happy that the team won, but there's one thing that's bugging me ever since I saw it. Yeah, it's about one specific person. His form was, to me, was not correct. The timing was wrong. The position of his body wasn't.
Hold on, stop. Stop for a second. Right. Stop for a second. Frank, stop
it
for
is
a second.
The elephant in the room. Okay?
Stop for a second, Frank. Stop. Because I want to ask Jared if you can guess who he's talking about, because I think I know who he's talking about.
I don't know. I remember thinking anyone was really poor out there. Unless you're talking about one of the subs.
No, he's talking about Zach Steffen. You're talking about Zach Steffen.
Oh, right? God, yes.
No. I am talking about Christian Pulisic trying to do the freaking worm. did not execute it.
Look, okay.
That was the whitest worm I've seen.
The dude got destroyed trying to do the gritty. He gets destroyed trying to do the worm. He's just out there having fun with his boys. Like, everybody, look, first of all, I don't know a lot of white people who are willing to try to put themselves out there and dance in the first place. Certainly not when I was his age going out with the boys. I was out there. I was on the dance floor, but I would get the judgment of my friends who didn't even bother trying and then go, you look dumb. No, I look like I'm trying. You look dumb standing over there. I give the man credit. He's not a good dancer.
He's not Charlie Davies.
He's not a good dancer. But let the man live. Let the man live, Frank. Why? Why come down on him? Why do that?
Because we have to watch him.
Well, yeah, but there are so many. I mean, he's not a dancer, but he could have tried the robot or something. I mean, that's like white people can get
is that better?
That more often
is that like this thing, like doing this?
Yeah,
is that better?
A sprinkler or something, you know?
No sprinklers. No.
He can do a cabbage patch. I believe in him.
No.
You know, at this point, because he's done so many bad dances, he should like meme himself and just do the Carlton or something.
There is at least something he can do. Nice. Like, look, I don't know what side of TikTok you end up on, Jared. I know you watch a lot of stuff. My algorithm is giving me like the home improvement thing, but
a lot of spouses farting.
A little bit of dancing happens in mine. I get a little bit of the spouse comedy, but there's one TikTok out there. It's just some African dude, and he's like, this is how you dance when you go to an African party, and he's just like bouncing his leg. Just bounce it. Bounce your leg. That's all he does, bounce your leg. If he did that, like just did like this and bounce his leg, everybody would go crazy because it's all over TikTok right now, and he wouldn't have to actually coordinate anything. Just put your leg
up
and down.
What kind of TikTok is doing the worm, dude?
I don't know where he got the worm. I don't know why the worm is a thing. I don't know what
maybe
that is.
Maybe he thinks he invented it.
No, that's where that's
would,
not
where
true.
Would a 20-year-old like dude see the worm?
Because they probably were just messing around like in the locker room or something, and like, what moves can you do? And he did the worm, and like, you got to do the worm when you score.
At least
you
when he got up, he like shook his head, like, nah, I shouldn't be doing that. Like, he did that, so I'm okay with that. Yeah. Frank, what else you got, buddy?
That's pretty much it. But I'm just a little bit bummed out that there's going to be very little drama till the very end. But honestly, as long as the U.S. is in the World Cup, I'm good. So let's go.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks for the call, Frank. I think Mr. Soup and Sausage has gotten something together for us here. So there it is. We saw somebody in the chat say this too a couple minutes ago.
All right. For the people on the listening on the podcast, it's a tweet from Matt Doyle saying this is the exact things that need to happen for the U.S. U.S. men's national team needs to win, draw, or lose by 5-0 or less to advance directly to the World Cup. A forfeit is a 3-0 loss. Just saying. So even if they didn't show, they would qualify?
Yeah, man. Come on, right? We're never going to. That's not. You don't do that. Like, I would
no,
be
you
ashamed.
Don't, but that's just interesting.
No, it is. Look, obviously,
do you
it's
think,
interesting.
Okay, if you had to pick one team in the Ocho that would pull that move, what's the team in the Ocho that would pull that move?
Man, who would pull that move? I obviously Honduras was eliminated so long ago. I don't know. I don't think anybody would do that. I don't think anybody would do that.
I hope not.
I could imagine, like, if Jamaica pissed off their players enough because they weren't paying them like they're supposed to, which has happened, their players choosing not to play as a boycott or a protest, a strike, and then Jamaica having to do that. But it not. I mean, no. Mexico would. I don't think Mexico wouldn't. By the way, Mexico win. Is it over? Where are they at? Is it? They finished that out, right? 1-0 over.
I saw they were winning.
Over Honduras.
Sure,
it is also
only
worth
one goal against Honduras.
Yeah. Let's take that down. It's worth pointing out, and I've had a couple. We've seen a couple of chat messages about this too. Let's go ahead. Let's applaud Canada. Congratulations to Canada for qualifying for the World Cup. I mean, I'm happy about it. You don't want to get. You
I don't want to
be,
qualify first. Is there a way we can get first still? I'm not sure what the points are right now. Can we get first somehow?
I haven't looked at it,
man. What was their result today?
I'm still like scarred by the last cycle. Why would I care about first at this point?
Their result today?
They won. They won 4-0.
So they're on 31 then? Yeah.
They're on 28 now. Because we were on 22. Well, they were on 25. Now they're on 28. We could catch them if they beat Costa Rica.
Beat us at something, dude.
If they lose on the final day and they have, like, again, they're already qualified. So if they lose on the final day, it is possible for us to catch them, but I don't know what the scoreline swing would need to be. So they pay Panama.
We'd have to win by at least five.
Yeah, they got goal differential on us. Yeah.
Oh yeah,
they're at plus 17, and we're at plus 13.
All right, boys, you have your mission.
And they would have They would have to lose to Panama, who just got wrecked by us at home. It's going to have no reason. I mean, in the U.S., they have no reason.
You touched
to play.
On this. You touched on this. Can we just talk about this real quick before we get to another caller?
Sure.
Zach Steffen's a mess. Zach Steffen's a mess, dude.
Yeah.
Like, and here's the thing. You and I have always talked about this. There's something about when the ball's at his feet, and I figured it out today.
What is that?
Why I can't stand when the ball's at his feet. Because I think he, in his mind, says, I'm going to wait to the absolute last minute I could get rid of this just to show you I can. I don't need that from a keeper.
Yeah.
I don't need you to hold that extra half second to let the guy think, just, it's like he's flossing on him a bit, you know? Like, oh, I can wait this extra half second. Dude, you can't. You're not as good as you think you are.
He acts like he's the best goalkeeper with distribution in the world, right? He doesn't have bad games. Sometimes he had good games. Right? Here's one. He distributed well against Mexico. I'd have to go back and look. I don't remember. Wait, did he have one bad moment in that game?
I guarantee you he did.
I think he had one bad moment that nearly ended up in a goal.
Do you remember early in Berhalter's?
Yeah.
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 You remember early in Berhalter's tenure, we were struggling to play a ball to the back a lot, and how often he was exposed because the team wasn't comfortable doing it yet. I mean, the team, if you don't think the U.S. national team has been progressed, watch those first Berhalter games where we could not play the ball out of the back against the teams we should have been able to.
Yeah.
The team has progressed in these last couple of years, but Zach Steffen is so, just not.
He's so lackadaisical. He's so nonchalant. But I do think he's pretty good. I just think that he gets in his head that he's going to show people. Like, I think he wants to be an outfield player, right? In his head, he wants to be the one who breaks people down, who leaves defenders behind. He wants to do that, and he can't do that. So what is he going to do? I'm going to wait until the last second, and I'm going to make you miss, and then I'm going to hit, you know, a 40-yard ball on a dime. But then he makes the play or miss most of the time, and then he gets a 40-yard ball, and it goes to the other team. And I'm like, what the hell? All right, let's go to...
Not just that. I mean, he dropped a cross today.
He did drop a cross.
There was a lot of things that didn't look right.
He did not look comfortable. Let's go to Jeff from L.A. Jeff, you're on the Best Soccer Show, man. What's up?
Boys, girls, and Jared.
I don't know why that was...
How do we find ourselves this evening?
A result away from Qatar.
We feel near. We're almost. Jared, what was your thing? Was like it's 10 p.m. on the night before your 21st. The day before your 21st birthday. Yeah. And you go to the bar.
The club. You go to the club.
You go to the bouncer and you say, "Look, I'm gonna be 21 in 2 hours. Let me in." It's kind of that. There's something else here too. I'm not sure exactly what it is. I got to figure out the analogy. But Jeff, what do you got? How do you feel?
You know what, boys? This is the deal. Okay. We have never been in this position before, okay? We, as a fan base, I use that term very loosely, are on the precipice of what we see as the golden era of United States men's soccer. Would you agree?
Sure.
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. Now, let me tell you something, Jared. Jared, I've told you on Twitter, and I've told everyone who will listen on Twitter, there is no reason that this quote-unquote fan base needs to continue to split hairs and find every nuance under the sun about Greg Berhalter. It needs to stop, and it needs to stop now.
Okay.
Okay? Mm-hmm. If you're looking for perfection, you might as well move to a country in Europe, like Italy, and cheer for their team. If you're looking for perfection, you should move to Colombia, who's not going to qualify for the 2022 okay. World Cup, and cheer for their team. This All is right, American right. soccer. This stops now.
Okay, well, okay? let's take
splitting. He didn't call in that guy. Okay. Jeff,
I'm sorry, I can't.
We need to break. Somehow, like, I did something, like, I don't know what okay. I did, like,
I've muted Jeff for the moment. Maybe he'll cool down a little bit. He lives in California. I heard weed is legal there. I don't understand why
he says
anybody...
coffee a different way. I'm telling you, that dude ain't from California.
All right, so he's a transplant. You're saying all this is agro East Coast energy. Is that what you're telling me? Like, he must be much more chill if he was from California. Look, I don't think the problem is people being critical with Greg Berhalter. I don't even think the problem is people I don't think it's a problem. Right, I don't think it's a problem unless you're
okay
out there.
To question.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with people questioning. I have a problem with people attacking each other over shit like that. That's what I have a problem with.
And I don't think questioning someone is a pursuit of perfection. I think most people realize perfection doesn't exist in this kind of.
This is not new, right? It may be bigger, or maybe social media makes it feel more. I don't know. I know that there are certain elements of the U.S. soccer fan media space that are trying to own the whole toxic thing because somebody out there has called certain elements of the fan base toxic. I don't want to make this a referendum on the fan base. By the way, there's room for everybody. Let's just.
I'm going to go the other direction.
Just don't.
I'm going to reserve my right to be an asshole. I'm gonna reserve my right as America. You see this badge? Yeah. You see this badge? This gives me the right. This gives
badge?
Me the right to be an
this
a-hole the anytime I want.
This badge
this
is
one.
The new badge.
This
Not
one from
badge.
2002, the original golden
this
generation,
is the good
right
good
here.
Badge. Right.
On this okay. This gives me the right to be an a-hole.
Is your badge different
I
than
want.
My badge? We have different badges. The same
no,
badge.
No, we
right?
both got the old one.
Okay. No, I know. But, I just like didn't know if there was a slight variation.
Maybe I want to be a jerk once in a while. You know, like I'm going to reserve that right. I don't have to be happy with everything.
No.
But at the same time, I do think that he's right in that you shouldn't have a default position of thinking that once you've made your mind up about Greg Berhalter, you can't ever change it, or you're a flip-flopper or something. Things progress.
I think that's part of it, too. I, unfortunately, it won't let me unmute Jeff, so he's going to have to go find something to calm himself down, and I'll drop him and we'll move on. But there was this – did you hear what Jesse Marsh said? On the channel I work for. It wasn't on my show.
Yeah, I did. About U.S. fans relaxing and let the guy do the job.
And supporting him
the
and all that
The team needs
stuff.
You, yeah.
Listen, if you don't agree with Jesse Marsh's attitude that everybody should support Greg Berhalter and the national team, that's fine. You can disagree with that. That's your prerogative. You can think that's a ridiculous notion. But attacking Jesse, like people going after Jesse Marsh... A guy who has achieved more as a coach than almost any American has ever. I mean, I'm talking about in Europe, obviously. But to go after Jesse Marsh for just saying, "Hey, let's be supportive of our team," is insane. You can disagree with him, okay? You can, but you don't have to be an asshole about attacking people. Yeah. Like that's the thing that is the next level for me. That's all. That's all.
You know, part of me wonders, like, this is me going really too wide with this. Is there a generational thing that? People now, there's no penalty for being like anonymous on the internet. So you just, the level of discourse is just so far more negative than people that used to have to talk crap to people's face and you get punched in that face afterwards.
I don't know. I mean, look, it's obviously easier for people to be anonymous and do shit. And look, I work in media and I get stuff all the time. And most of the time I'm like, whatever. Let's change this, dude. If you're stuck your real name,
5-1.
Not your real face.
We just won 5-1. And we're not talking about a great result right now.
We are. We're going to talk about good stuff. Let's go to Jake from Houston who wants to talk about some players and their performances. What's up, Jake?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Hey,
what's up, buddy?
Oh, not too much, man. I just wanted to say, first and foremost, man, let's give Pulisic credit for nailing those two penalties. I mean, after watching Jorginho, Skyrim, and UEFA, watching that striker from Turkey, those things aren't automatic, man. I just wanted to give him his props.
Especially after you just missed a sitter. I was thinking about this in Mexico. I'm glad that we have somebody, and I'm kind of glad he's, you know, the chosen one of this generation, although I would argue that Gio's probably more naturally, you know, whatever, it doesn't matter. Christian Pulisic has been carrying this load from the last cycle, too, of the guy, and for him to be our best penalty kick taker and for him to fire these home against Mexico in this game, I think he's perfect, right? Didn't they mention he's perfect for the national team?
Five for five now.
I mean, that's still a fairly small sample size, but to have it be him the way it was landing, I like that. I don't know. It makes me feel better about something. I don't know why. It's just kind of ineffable.
That's the most Landon-ist thing that I think any player has, is that implicit in taking penalties. What I really wish we would develop next, and maybe Gio's this guy, I'm not sure, a true set-piece shooter. Yeah, you know, that's something that I really struggle with. I think Paulo Costa can do it sometimes, but he's not going to be in every game.
Christian Pulisic's service tonight on set-pieces was vastly better. I don't know what happened.
Way better.
Better than it's been for
maybe he
cycle.
Realizes that people have been talking about taking the job from him, and Gio Reyna coming in, that's the guy people are looking at for the guy that wants to take set pieces.
Jake, look, penalties are not the hardest thing in the world, but you do need somebody who's confident to step up and take them, and I think that was good. What else you got?
Yeah, man, I was just wondering, you know, watching Gio's resurgence now, what do y'all think about between the attacking eight and the right winger? I mean, we've got Weah, we got Musa, we got Gio. You know, I mean, Brendan Aaronson already feels like a tough guy to bench. Who do you think's the guy that draws short stick in Qatar?
Well, I think it depends on the matchup. It depends on a lot of things. But I would say, Jared, I am ready to see, you know, Pulisic and you know, center forward is still a question. Ferreira was good and he scored. And then Weah on the other side. So Pulisic and Weah bracketing a center forward. And then Reyna in the midfield with Weston McKennie. I want to see how that works. Now,
so you're saying that means Musa sits?
I don't think Musa should play or that he's not. I just don't know that we should lock in on this is our 11.
We're saying. Weah or Musa, one of those guys has to sit to get McKennie and Reyna into this lineup.
There's also the possibility that Timothy Weah will, and I know he's been good and he's had moments, and he is our best 1v1 attacking player on the wing by miles, but I think maybe you're going to see Reyna sort of bounce between those two positions when he's healthy and available, and it might depend on the opponent, right? And it might depend on what you're asking, who the right back is, you know, if it's Sergio Dest.
For me, you said Musa. I think you said Musa because Weah is still, I think, the best suited player for Greg Berhalter, stretch the defense mentality. And think about the time, three times tonight, I can think of when Gio Reyna slotted a split ball right to a runner, you know, and imagine if Weah's on the end of that, you know.
There were a couple of times I'm like, though, that was a great, almost inch perfect in terms of weight too.
Yeah.
Just fantastic. All right, Jake, anything else?
I mean, man, if our nines don't pick it up, can you see Weah getting a shot at the nine so we can accommodate everybody?
Man, he's so much better in space though for us.
Here's the problem. Here's the problem though. How many friendlies do you think the U.S. is going to have between now and Qatar? Six?
They got Nations League too though, right?
Is there Nation League games this summer? Is that a thing? I've been so focused on just getting through the qualifying process. I honestly don't know what the schedule is.
What do you think?
Like,
six games between now and Qatar? They'll probably do a three games window right beforehand. So do you have enough games to workshop?
They would have
workshop?
To squeeze them in quickly, by the way. I think
do you have enough games to workshop Weah into a new position at the nine versus give minutes and invest in Ferreira, Pepe, Pfock, or someone like that? Maybe even, who knows, DK if he gets back. I don't know. Like it's a lot. I think if Berhalter's style is to stick with what he knows and what he's been doing, and I think that means Tim Weah is a winger.
Yeah, I think that's probably true.
Yeah,
I think that's true, Jake. Yeah, appreciate it. I mean, there's not anybody standing out among the center forward group, but you don't add another body just to see, right? And especially when you have a guy that you know is good in that position. Nations League this summer. Okay, so that maybe that's an opportunity.
Why?
Because CONCACAF? Because money? Nate asked an important question. We need to decide as a show. Okay, so there is his question is, can someone explain to me how to say, and he spelled it wrong, the nation where the World Cup is happening. So I've been told, you've been told, right, the proper way to say it, the closer to, we're not going to get the accent right, but the closest is like Qatar or Qatar, Qatar. But we see it as Americans and we say Qatar, right? Look, we're going to Qatar.
Can I vent on this nation? I'm feeling passionate about this Nation League thing for a second.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
Why are we going to play Nations League this summer? Which that means that we're going to be playing other CONCACAF teams.
Hold on. Let me get Mike Dagliani on the phone. What's up, dude? Why are we doing
this? Seriously, dude, like, why are we shoehorning ourselves to play CONCACAF teams that we've just been playing or lower?
Yeah.
Instead of getting friendlies against World Cup quality opponents.
Because they're doing Nations League too, dude.
And it's stupid. I don't understand the value of Nations League.
What do you mean you don't understand the value of Nations League? It's money.
I don't get any of that, so I don't understand the value.
Okay, well, you do understand it. You just don't. You're not getting a piece. Speaking of the World Cup, and again, not done. Very close. Ty from Jersey, you're on the best soccer show. What's up?
Hey, you know, obviously we're not there yet, but I'm just calling to say that, you know, I like to say that I like to look to the future more than the past, and I think we can pretty much agree that we are at the World Cup. Is everybody in agreement on that?
Yeah, it would be a monumental collapse. Worse than Trinidad and Tobago.
I still have flashbacks, and I know it's much different. It's in terms of the goal differential, it's almost impossible. And we are guaranteed a playoff spot. Like, even if we lose to Costa Rica by enough to turn the deficit over, we still get to go play New Zealand probably in the playoff, which, you know, isn't a guarantee, but is pretty strong. So yes, go ahead. We're in the World Cup.
I think we're pretty much there. You know, and I think everybody, you know, all super fans like me and, you know, all of you guys, you know, want to see the U.S. get out of the group. And I feel like something that might not be getting enough attention right now is the World Cup draw is in 7 days, I'm pretty sure.
It is, yeah. It's on Friday. It's actually
on
Friday.
I'm super stoked on that. I'm glad they did that so quick afterwards.
Yeah. Well, it used to be, you know, the World Cup in the summer, it was always in December. But we obviously couldn't do that this time. Go ahead.
I was just saying, you know, I think that the U.S. wins over Mexico this summer are very actually undervalued because they are actually going to put us in a position to be in pot B of the draw. Just mean we're gonna avoid some stronger European opposition, I'm pretty sure, on that.
That's and pot. It's pot two, but yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm also pretty sure. I'm not positive on this. I'm just doing the math in my head. It's a lot of math. It's, you know, I'm a college student, so you know, I just did the math, and I'm pretty sure a win over Costa Rica in Costa Rica by maybe two could, this is a big if, I think Portugal would have to lose, put them in the pot A as well.
I don't think their world ranking is going to be high enough to do that.
I don't know what because there's only so high they can go in the rankings, but yeah.
Because they're 11 right now with the win over Panama.
Uh-huh.
So I'm not sure.
Maybe if they had beat Mexico away, we're talking about that, but I don't know if there's going to be enough algorithm to make that happen.
Enough algorithm. Yeah. Give me some more. I need some more algorithm. Please, sir, I have some more algorithm.
I'm on reserves.
I think it's going to end up being pod two. Yeah, it's going to end up being pod
this
two.
This is the dream right here. Wesley's got the dream in the chat. Pod two with Cutter. That would be the one.
Is this a thing now? You guys are using the U? It's not spelled with a U. The chat has decided that it's spelled with a U.
I just wanted to call in and say I think how major it is that being that pod two, that I don't think a U.S. team has been that high in a pod in a very long time. So I just wanted to call in and say how major it's going to be, I feel like, to be getting a decent group to get out of, hopefully, and maybe, you know, who knows?
Well, so, yeah, I mean, obviously, look, I can't remember where we were. Thanks for the call, Ty. I got other calls, but I don't remember the pot situation. Obviously, we drew Ghana, Germany, and Portugal, so that was a crap pot to be in, clearly. We weren't the pot four. Were we the pot four team in that
Ghana
draw?
Ghana
might have been the pot four team. Well, how bad was Ghana in qualifying to get to end up at pot four?
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, Portugal and Germany would assume in pot one and two. So the pot situation basically, I mean, do people understand how this works, Jared, like what this is?
Yeah, I know. It's legal here in California.
No, not that kind of pot. Not the kind that Jeff needs. I'm talking about this. So pot one is obviously the top teams in the world plus the host. So so Qatar gets in there because of being the host, which is lovely for them. Pot two would be the next batch of teams in the world rankings. And then, you know, obviously down the line, I believe that by qualifying automatically, Canada has pushed themselves into pot three because they've added a bunch of, you know, they've added a bunch of ranking points based on finishing top of the team. I can't get an explainer to load I got issues with my browser, but I was trying to go through who's in pot one and who's pot two. If anybody has that, go ahead and fire it out in the chat. We'll mention it. Let's see if I can get Wes and his beard from Idaho on the show. It's loading. I don't know what's going on here. We'll see if we can get Wes to join here. Do we want to talk about that? Like, is that risking? Okay, Wes
I'd rather talk about the game.
Okay, Wes, go ahead.
I have been joined. Thank you. I just want to talk about, I think, what was it, Jeff, who just needed to take a chill pill for a second. we can all criticize Berhalter a little bit. We can also all agree Berhalter has gotten better. The team has gotten better. Everything's gotten a little bit better and better, and you can get better. I mean, there's really only maybe four managers in the world that I can think of that, hey, we probably shouldn't question their decision. And Berhalter is not one of those four. Let's be 100% honest. Yeah. But
so it's how you do it.
Doing much, much better than the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we agree. It's how you do it.
Yeah, exactly. And I just don't. There's been a lot of talk on, you know, the Twitter, which isn't real, but people think it is, about the toxic fan, and you can't question things. And I just think that's insane. We can question things, but, you know, when they're on the field, that's who we're cheering for, man. No matter what. Mm-hmm. Like, I think calling in Shaq Moore is crazy. We got Joe Scally. He is facing top talent in Germany week in and week out. Why aren't we calling him in? But Moore came in. He did an adequate job. I don't think it was fantastic, but he did the job that needed to be done, and I'm glad he did and got the job done. But those are things we can criticize. Let's just not be crazy about it.
Because,
rude.
Just... But Wes, you're undervaluing how much the tutelage of Phil Neville is putting on DeAndre Yedlin in MLS.
Okay.
Week in, week out, he's getting exposed to that high level of
I don't think that Greg Berhalter had a clue what he was doing when he started. I mean, he knew how to coach soccer. Like, he's done that before. But in terms of qualifying for World Cup and leading a national team full of guys where their average age is 23 and a half, I don't think he knew what he was doing. Right? I don't think that's crazy to say. Like, I'm not killing the dude by saying that he didn't. First rodeo too, right? He has to learn how to get. Where do I grab the bull? Where do I put my feet? Like, how do I talk to these guys? How do I get them to play the way I want to? Is the way I want to play the right way? Which players do I bring in? What do I value?
I'll give Berhalter credit for this: is that he is so shortly removed from being a player when he took over that he probably could better understand a bunch of young guys
maybe
coming into this team.
Regardless, he had to see what the buy was going to be. Look, for whatever you want to say, and again, I still think it's absolutely nuts that John Brooks is nowhere near this team right now. It boggles my mind. He is a top-level defender in a top-level league, and he's not in our national team. Clearly, Greg Berhalter decided he valued something different than what John Brooks was bringing. And whatever the instance was, whatever led to Berhalter kicking him out the door, he chose a path, right? And it doesn't mean because he qualifies that everything is forgiven. It doesn't mean he got everything right. But on the whole, if you judge him on the full breadth of his performance as the coach, having not had any experience, and again, blame the Federation if you want to blame somebody for Berhalter having the job in the first place, not the guy. He has grown. And I think the Mexico game showed me a lot, because we had been talking on this show, on my radio show, whatever. Berhalter overcomplicates everything. He overthinks everything. Yeah. Somebody mentioned it in the chat. He wanted to take Tyler Adams and use him as a right back who pulled into midfield on the ball. Like, we're going nuts over this stuff.
Yeah,
and then he gets.
Right?
But
that was,
friendlies before World Cup qualifying is when you're supposed to try stuff anyway.
No,
how do you
know
it works?
I know,
try it a little bit.
Okay, maybe. But he got to that first window. He rotated heavily against Panama. We lost that game in Panama. He did all these things where he was overthinking. He got to that Mexico game, and everybody was talking about, like, oh, do you play a B team and save these guys for Panama? Because Panama's the one you really got to win. And he said, screw it. I'm playing the best team I got available. I don't have Weston McKennie. I don't have Sergiño Dest, but I got these guys. I got Christian Pulisic. I got Timothy Weah. I'm playing the best team I got.
Tyler Adams. Huge.
And he went out there, and look, they didn't win the game, but they sure as hell could have, and they won tonight 5-1 with basically the same guys in the team. Like, come on. What are we doing here?
And what you're saying right there, I think, encompasses exactly how Greg Berhalter has grown. Just two more things real quick. I think it was Jared. You put out a tweet saying that I think Brooks was driving the car when McKennie left the hotel. That might be part of it. I'm going with that conspiracy theory.
No. By the way, Brooks wasn't driving the car. I mean, if you're going to tweet me, let's do it. If you're going to quote me, let's do it right. John Brooks smuggled him out. Joe Scally was driving the car. That's why he's not bringing right. That's why
Joe Scally, who was in Germany, was driving the car. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. He called the Uber.
That makes perfect sense. That's the perfect conspiracy theory.
Wes, you got anything else?
Luca Della Torre is filthy, and we got to finish those passes. They're silky smooth, and it's looking good. And I just want to keep seeing that coming. So you guys have a good night.
I'll be surprised if Luca Della Torre is in the starting lineup if Reyna is playing winger. You could put Weah up at the winger and bring Reyna and put Weah up at the wide position and put Reyna in the midfield. If you do that, Della Torre is probably going to sit. But
let's just pause for a second and remember what we're talking about here is the depth that we thought we had is actually coming to fruition, right? And again, there may have been some hiccups along the way. Some of these guys might not have been brought along when we thought they should have been brought along. But you just went through that whole scenario without mentioning Weston McKennie, who we presume by the time the World Cup rolls around will be available and healthy and in our starting lineup, right?
They're talking about him being ready before the end of the Serie A season now.
Okay,
seeing that?
So if you tell me, like, oh, well, Luca Della Torre's got to start. Does he? Okay, well, does he start next to Weston McKennie, or is Yunus Musa starting?
He needs to start.
No, I'm just saying I'm saying that the guy who
just
stepped up
in riches. Yeah.
The guy who stepped up and had the performance tonight that just got Wes's praise, that guy is probably going to be a depth piece at the World Cup, which is good, right? To have a guy who's that confident in that moment who can deliver on that level. Now, look, we've gone through cycles before. I mean, let's not forget that we once qualified for a World Cup because Connor Casey had a brace in Honduras. We might not use every single one of these guys who pop up in qualifying, but I think Della Torre has worked his way into the team as a solid choice. And I don't know about where that leaves Busio, who got on the field tonight. Like, I don't know where that leaves some of these guys when he's 23.
I'm not so worried about Busio. I think he's taking the spot that Roldan and Legette are potentially
going to
take up. But I will say this about Luca Della Torre. Very good on the turn. Very good advancing the ball. If you go back and watch this game again, watch one thing, though. Forcing some passes. He is forcing some passes in space, and passes aren't reaching destinations. There's one thing I would just like you guys to go back and look at. Yeah. I think we're losing the fact that he gave away the ball a few more times than you would like from a midfielder. But I'm just saying, punt the brakes a little bit. Good game. two good performances, his last two, but I still think there's some growth right there in terms of picking the right pass and not forcing a pass that's not on.
Yeah. Okay, let's go to Will Lancaster. What's up? You're on the Best Soccer Show, Will.
What's up, man? It's Will from Lancaster over here.
Lancaster. My bad. Lancaster. Got to get it right.
Is that in England?
No. I didn't mean it that way. I apologize.
Lancaster?
That's Lancaster, right?
Lancaster.
Okay. Lancaster.
Yeah. Better than the California version.
You're probably right.
Go.
Listen, but... listen, I just want everyone to remember where we were 4 years ago. Just for a minute. I know we got to get into analytics and everything, and that's what you guys do. You guys, you know, keep us where we're at, but remember where we were 4 years ago. And all I want to do
gray hair.
Is I hope that you, JD, and Narod will join me in this, and everyone at home listening will join me in this song that I'm about to sing here. And the song is this. We are going to Qatar. We are going to Qatar.
To Qatar.
So wait, is that decided? We can't sing that song with Qatar.
We are going to Qatar.
Wait, oh, hold on. I want to join you, my man. I want to join you, but there's a part of me that believes in Jinx. Okay?
Ooh.
Like, we ain't there yet. A puddle in Trinidad Tobago kept us from qualifying.
Did it? Did a puddle stop us from qualifying?
Was it I saw they had to get carried across it, but I don't know.
It wasn't Omar Gonzalez.
And listen, I was really nervous in singing this song and saying to call you guys and sing this song. I was nervous about that, thinking about that. Like, am I jinxing it? And the whole week I was thinking of this. Damn, I'm going to jinx myself. I've been singing it in my head. But I don't care. 5-1. Like, it's a goal differential. What are we going to do?
Yeah.
I know I sound like Marky Wahlberg over here, but what? What are we going to do?
Well, you can't convince me. Yeah. You know what? It's a good point. Even if we do get flipped over by Costa Rica, we're playing the playoff. That game happens in Qatar. So we're going either way, even if we don't go to the show.
It's important to remind the fans of something we haven't said in quite some time either, is that the U.S. men's national team's never missed a World Cup when the Best Soccer Show is on the air.
I mean,
we came back for you.
What more do you want? We brought back the sauce, and now we're cooking with it. Now we've got this team going back to the World Cup, right? We were here, and we went to the World Cup. We left. We missed the World Cup.
I'm sorry. We
came back
before.
We're sharing that responsibility, right? It's like when the parents break up, you don't really say it's her fault or his fault.
I was standing next to Omar Gonzalez, so I still think he should take the hit. But
I just mean for us, like leaving, right. Like we're sharing that responsibility, you and me together, like parents who divorce and then don't blame the other one because we're trying to save the kid's emotions. Like we're trying not to make the kids feel like. Okay, anyway, it got deep. How about we let somebody else celebrate for a second? How about we let our old friend Vince from Toronto celebrate on this show?
Dirty Vince, Canadian.
I say congratulations, Vince. Jared doesn't want to give it up. What's up, man?
You know, I'm good, fellas. You know, water's tasting a little fresher.
How's the weed up in Canada?
A little bit sweeter, you know. I don't know. You guys told me how to feel because you know you guys are used to this. Like I don't know what to do with my hands. You know what I mean? Like,
congratulations!
We're coming through that first place spot, baby. We're gonna win 6-0, and we're gonna get it. We're gonna take it from you.
Since we just mentioned the fact that you know the United States never missed a World Cup while we were doing a show, and we go back, it's 11, nearly 11. It'll be 11 years that we started the show. I mean, we weren't continuous, but 11 years since we started the show. I think Vince has been listening to us for pretty much the entirety
of that
11 years. And of course he was calling in as a Canadian soccer fan and we would talk some MLS and he would talk about, you know, Toronto FC when they showed up in the league and everything. But there was always that thing lingering
Vince,
over Canadian
Mike
soccer.
From Philly. We've got a couple of guys that have gone the whole way.
Yeah. But I'm saying what Vince did was Vince was staying, you know, faithful, waiting for this day to come. And then Jonathan David and Alphonso Davies and Tejan Buchanan, who scored today. I don't know. Everybody scored today. Kyle Larin, they showed up, and now they're going to the World Cup.
Vince used to have to call in and talk about how we got Teal Bunbury. That's how old he is.
That's right, Vince.
Oh, man. Yeah, no, I know the first night I called in was the 2014 cycle, and Costa Rica had beaten the U.S. in San Jose. So I don't know if I'm putting something out there into the world right now. But no, man, yeah, like I started following, first off, like understand, I became a fan of soccer following the U.S. and following Landon Donovan. And Landon Donovan is up there for me for one of my favorite players. So he's part
Canadian.
For that.
So, that's right. There you go.
That works. But yeah, man, I watched 8-1 in Honduras in San Pedro Sula, and like, you know, you don't even know how to like process that when you're so close. And you know, even when Canada was at the top of this Ocho and we're doing well, we're winning games, it's still in the back of your head where you're like, this isn't supposed to happen. You know, the house of cards is going to come crumbling down, but it just never did. And you know, here we are. And yeah, no, man, it's been wonderful. John Herdman is freaking miracle worker. You know, and listen, like I just watched the U.S. you know, beat down Panama like they owe the money. And you know, I'm excited, man. I'm excited to be there with you guys next year in Qatar, just celebrating. I love 2014. I love following you guys during that World Cup because that was such a fun World Cup for the United States. But now I get to kind of be there with you guys, cheering on Canada. So yeah, no, and like you know what, just, Vince? Just thank you guys for taking me in, that lone Canadian. You know, just trying to fit in.
This is like Aubrey showing up and going, thanks for letting me in, guys, and then turns out he's Drake the whole time. Like this is
I don't understand any of what you just said.
Okay, Vince will. This is kind of like the transformation has happened. He's gone from the geeky girl with glasses, and now they've had the makeover, Jared. You'll understand that one.
Now I get you. No, but she's all that. Okay, I'm ready. I'm in.
Canada just right, got she. She's
I'll
all
say
that
this in. Though, Vince. I'll say this. We're letting the feels flow a little bit right here, and I appreciate the honesty you're doing. You're talking about following the U.S. team in World Cups prior, and I think I speak for a lot of American fans, and for a long time, everyone talks about America's second team is England. America's second team is Brazil or Germany. America's second team in this World Cup is going to be Canada. Like, well, I don't think you're going to find many American fans that aren't going to be rooting for Canada when they're watching as a neutral in the World Cup. If we go out, I want Canada to go as far as possible. Like, that's my goal. You know, like, second team.
Yeah, sure. As long as you don't beat us. Want Canada to have an amazing time at the World Cup. And like, this is I was just thinking about, like, you know, we had a World Cup coming in 94 and we made the World Cup before that, right? We made the 90 World Cup, Magic, Paul Caligiuri in Port of Spain and all that. We weren't ready for that World Cup. That was a bunch of college kids who really had no business being in Italy, and they got their butts. I mean, it was an ugly World Cup back then anyway, but they got their butts handed to them. That's not going to be Canada at the World Cup. It's not. I mean, and I know you went in 86 and you've been there before, but this is obviously feels like a reboot of the Canadian soccer, you know, culture. And to go to a World Cup before the one that's going to be coming to North America, when you're automatically qualified, most likely, that's huge. I mean, it means that they're going to be set up to do even something bigger in 2026.
You know, what percentage of the American fan base do you think would switch John Herdman for Greg Berhalter right now?
That's a good question. About 30%, maybe 35%.
Do you think John Herdman, doctor, because you've watched a lot of Canada, is he tactically smart, or is he extremely pragmatic about how he approaches game plans?
They love playing for him. He's got them bought in. That's for sure.
He's what I feel and what he's done is he just knows the game plan. He knows how to explain it to everyone, and he has a plan A, B, and C, and he will use all three of them in the game. We go back three to back four, you know, Davies on the right, Davies on the left, Davies up top, and everybody's bought in. Everybody knows how to use it. I'll tell you right now, if Herdman was coaching the United States, I would be very scared of that team because of how much he'd be able to motivate those guys and how he'd be able to get the best out of them, right? We all talk about Pulisic. His best position, being frustrated with him, I think it was on the left wing. Herdman would figure out how to get him to be his best person on the left wing and then throw him out on the right because he knows he can do that too. And that's how I kind of look at it, guys. I'm gonna hop off. I just want to leave you with one question for you guys, and it's sort of related, man, but like watching Mexico, man, do you think this team gets out of the group stages? Because I don't feel like they're getting out.
Not as currently constituted.
Right
now. Man, no.
I don't know. Chucky Lozano, why is he just not a threat from outside 18 yards?
I'm going to let you go, Vince. I got one more call I want to get to, and we're like close to wrapping this thing up. I think that, look, Mexico has kind of always been more bark than bite in terms of their goal scoring, Jared. Like, they've had teams that could score goals, right? And Chicharito Hernandez scored a bunch of goals for them. And, you know, they had talented players. You go back another generation, Jerry Borgetti and guys like that. They had goal scorers, but they kind of always do this thing where they make all the passes, they put in the dangerous cross, they play the cutback, ball doesn't go in the net. Ball just doesn't go in the net. And then they do it again. Ball doesn't go in the net. They do it again. Ball doesn't go in the net. And you're like, what is that? Like, what is that thing that can that keeps them from pressure? Finishing off? I don't know what it is. Like, I don't know if it's like, because obviously Raul Jimenez is a great goal scorer. I mean, I don't know if he's world class, but he's very, very good. Yeah. There's no reason they shouldn't be more dangerous with, and look, I like Chucky Lozano. I think he's very talented. Tecatito Corona, you can give him, I don't, whatever about him. But there, I don't know. Maybe it's Tata's tactics right now. Maybe that's a factor. They're not getting a lot. It's an Alvarez score tonight. That he's the one that scored for them. So he saved them.
Is he playing midfield again?
He's in the midfield, but he obviously scored out of the midfield. And look, they play a system that's similar to the U.S. in the sense that, you know, if you're going to get goals from the midfield, it is the late arriving runs. It's like, you know, it's the way it is. I don't know. I don't know if they're going to get out of the group.
As we start going over an hour, I feel like we need to pay a little more homage to just how fun tonight was. You know, I know we've talked about a lot of other stuff, but what's the moment that sticks out to you tonight? Like when you're thinking back on this result, what's that positive thing that you're thinking about? Is it the Pulisic touch to Netmeg? Is it the Reyna back heel? Is it the Reyna, all the other Reynas? Is it
all the Reyna? It's all the Reyna.
Is it Walker Zimmerman's like passion? That dude's passionate, man. Yeah, like that guy. You can make a case for a captain at Walker Zimmerman.
I think so. Walker gives off that he gives off an Alexi Lalas vibe when Alexi was playing. Obviously, he gives them Alexi Lalas vibe, and that. You know, is he the most refined defender you're going to see out there? No. He's a lot of physicality. He's a lot of effort, but he's willing to do whatever it takes. So he is just balls to the wall when he plays, and I respect that. Like, again, I don't. It's not that he's a bad defender. In fact, if you compare Alexi in his prime to Walker in his prime, Walker might be a better soccer player, but I just mean that in the sense that they are the vibes that they give off, the energy that they give off that is infectious to the rest of the team is there all the time. And it's, I will fight for you. I will fight for every ball. I will, I will go up for every header, even if it means I'm going to bust my head wide open to get to the ball. Like he does those things and you need that in this team. And look, as much as I love John Brooks as a classy soccer player, that's not who he is. That's not the vibe he gives off. And Miles is still young enough and whatever that he's not that guy either. You know, Miles, I think I even said this on the radio. Miles is a little bit of the Eddie Pope to Walker's Alexi Lalas. Like there's a little bit of that kind
the
of
quiet,
vibe to them.
The quiet defender. Like, is Miles Ruffson 25 at this point?
Something like that. He's something like that. Yeah.
Got to make a trip to Europe. I just can't see how that hasn't happened already. Or not even like any like talk around it, man. It's interesting. But listen, journalists are going to have their pick of storylines coming out of this. There's plenty of really good things to talk about coming out of this game where the reign of resurgence. Like, I mean, Paul Areola, 5 foot nothing, Rudy Rüdiger going up and getting a beautiful header like on that, where all the things that are going against him, like even, and I'll say this, I've been pushing this for a while. If you look at both of the predicted lineups that I've put out for the Best Soccer Show on our socials, shout out to Morgan. I've picked Ferrer as the nine on both of them. This team is better when he's playing the nine. That Ferreira himself is not more dangerous,
right?
But the team is better when he's in
there. It's the level of interchange that he provides that you don't get off those bigger guys. Yeah, there's something
about
that.
Get used to it, guys, because you've got to start thinking differently. Like this may not be a big, tall number nine team.
I think. I mean, maybe not. So. You know, without Weah tonight, I mean, Areola instead of Weah, you know, I don't know. Areola is not the most skilled player on the ball. I think that's part of the reason people don't always want to see him in this team. Obviously, Pulisic is. If you get Reyna out there, those guys want to play in combination. That's what they want to do. And if you have a center forward who can you know, find space in the channels to play them in, 100% they want to do that. That's what they want to do. They want to play in combination. They want to slip guys in. You know, obviously you're going to find space out wide by playing those combinations too. And then you get fullbacks hitting crosses. And if they're accurate, you know, that's danger too. So, yeah, I mean.
Yeah, listen, I'm a fan of Ferrer. I think that that's the direction to go as we approach.
Can I ask you to hold that thought?
Yeah,
because there is one more caller waiting for us, Harry from New York, and he wants to talk strikers. So this is a perfect way to get him in. Hey. Harry, what's up, man?
Hey guys, great show. I just want to say I'm thrilled. I'm happy. I know this this is kind of like a nervous question to ask, wondering what we're going to do. But I just want your thoughts on that revolving door, number nine. And there's a lot of guys there. Do you feel that Berhalter either didn't give anyone enough of a shot or left someone in too long?
Well, you mentioned it, Jared. Like, DK is probably going to get one more crack at this, right? If he's when he's healthy, if he's scoring goals in England,
assuming he's showing some form. I mean, listen, it could be Ricardo Pepi's job if Osborne starts playing him and he scores goals.
Yeah.
It could be any of these guys' job if they start scoring goals and show form overseas. I don't know that he's going to make that unless he makes a move.
Okay, so before Harry comes back in, do you think? I don't want to hold one bad moment against a guy.
Yeah.
And obviously Berhalter hesitated on PFOC even when he was in form. You know, lots of arguments about how good the Swiss League is. Do you think PFOC really is legitimately a candidate for that? I mean, after maybe it's not just the Mexico miss, maybe it's a lot of things. I just don't think he doesn't have the whole bag of tricks, right? I think PFOC kind of is a one or two trick pony, and that means that, you know, Berhalter may not gravitate towards him. It's why he gravitates towards Ferreira, even if Ferreira's not the threat in the air.
Far more dynamic. He is more than just stretch a back line. He actually, Ferreira doesn't stretch a back line that much at all, to be honest with you. But no. Pepi will. Pepi stretches a back line. PFOC finds space to try to, like, get an opportunity. And that's what he did. He just didn't finish it. Ferreira moves the offense around, and I think that helps Pulisic, that helps Weah more than just giving a target in the box. You know, I think that this offense doesn't need just a target in the box. It needs someone to free people up.
And this is an underrated part too, that if you're going to press and you're going to press from the front, you need a guy who can press, you know?
And that's what Pepi does. And that's why Pepi keeps getting shots. I'll tell you that. That's one of the things that Berhalter likes about Pepi, is that he presses. He works his butt off. And if you be honest, Ricardo Pepi had a bum deal against Mexico. Can you think of one opportunity that the guy had? I can't.
No.
He freed up Weah for the Christian Pulisic miss. Yeah. Yeah, you know, so he had things that he participated in. It wasn't a game where he was going to be called on to do much.
So I think that there's going to be room for Pepi and Ferreira in this group. It's then who's the I don't know if the big body guy is the right way to think about it, but I think if DK's in form, I think I like DK better than PFOC, so maybe DK gets a chance. But if we're talking about who's starting, Harry, I have no idea who's starting, and I don't. And again, it may be
matchup based.
It might be matchup based.
Like, what we're talking about is when he wants to.
You guys haven't mentioned Sargent. He was one of the leading candidates.
I don't think Sargent's going to be a center forward right now until he's playing center forward again. I think Berhalter has seen what he's done and said, okay, that's great, but I need you to do something different.
When you think about Josh Sargent, he presses the way Berhalter wants to press. That's probably one of the reasons he moves the way Ferreira, he wants Ferreira to move. Like, Josh Sargent is doing elements of what those two guys are doing.
Yeah.
He is just toothless in front of goal. You know, and say what you will, but I think when he's playing an opponent where he wants to press, Pepi might get that job. When he wants the offense to run at its highest form, Ferreira might get that job. Yeah. I don't know that it's going to be a set. It may be matchup based all the way through the World Cup.
We're not counting all our chickens on the qualifying for the World Cup because it's not technically done. But we're also definitely not imagining, and I already put this up on the screen once, I'll do it again, Wesley saying that Jesus Ferreira and Fallarin Balogun will be our strikers at the World Cup. Fallarin Balogun has to declare for the United States first. Like, he has to be captied. It has to, or not captied, but he has to actually choose to play for the U.S. and file his switch and all those things.
And Ben Bender's going to be starting as well. Like,
right, exactly.
I don't have a favorite, but just really quick, you know, Berhalter really, you know, stood by PFOC in the last game, and I just think he, instead of doing lip service, maybe give him another shot right away just to, like, prove the confidence that he has in him.
Maybe.
Things like that. I just think there's a little bit too much of a revolving door. But, you know, hopefully it works out. Someone grabs the job.
The problem is, obviously, that if you appreciate the call, Harry, the problem is that you kind of, if what Harry's saying is right, that there's a revolving door and you kind of need to settle at least on a core group of three, four guys, maybe. If their form drops off with their club teams or they're not playing, now do you leave them in that core group and continue to give them an opportunity? Or do you say, okay, well, swap them out?
I mean, so Berhalter loves familiarity.
All right. So in that case, as of right now, and with one game left in qualifying, and obviously Nations League and whatever friendlies are coming up to warm up for the World Cup, if that happens, who's in your group that you want to see Berhalter run through to try to figure out who the guy's supposed to be? Or what kind of weapon? I mean, you know, again, it's like Jesus Ferreira is a paring knife and Jordan Pefok is a, you know, is a big old chef knife, whatever it is. Like, what do we got here that you would want
you're
to
see? You're talking about in the games between now and the World Cup, or are you talking this last game of this window?
No, not the last game of the window. I'm talking about leading to the World Cup.
I think you need to see consistent starting minutes with Jesus. Because what we're going to get to see, everything we've seen about Berhalter in this entire World Cup qualifying campaign has been under the shroud of three game windows, except for one.
That's true.
So you don't know how much of this is just it's attrition. Can guys go again? Do they have 90 in them? Are they on a knock? Can you play them that many minutes? He may know exactly who he wants, and we'll see that in the time between, because this is the guy I want. I just can't have him play 180 minutes, or what, 270?
Wait, 270.
Yeah, 270. He can't play 270 minutes in a week.
Yeah.
So, like, everything we're seeing is skewed from a data perspective.
Can you believe that, and this is World Cup, and the next one's going to be different, but can you believe that when you get to the World Cup, you actually get more rest between games than you did when you were qualifying for the World Cup? I mean, that's wild. Because it was always...
You get air-conditioned stadiums.
Well, apparently. They got, like, cloud systems or something. All right. I think that's...
It's all the vape.
That's a solid damn show on the day the United States almost definitely qualified for the World Cup in 2022, right?
Champagne's like, going to have to wait.
We're good. We will bust it out. Now, I had a question in the chat. Dan said, are we doing a show on Wednesday night? I don't think we're doing a show on Wednesday night because I think I may have professional obligations, unfortunately. I will check. I'll let you know if that's a thing. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at Bestie Soccer. Hit us up on Instagram at The Best Soccer Show. The Patreon is out there. It's floating around. The Bestie Slack is a killer community. I mean, I don't know. There's lots of options for people with U.S. Men's National Team stuff, and that's great. I'm glad. I'm glad this is where we are, because I think, Jared, the 10 years ago when we started, nobody was doing this at all. And, you know,
we had a group of people that on our Slack traveled to Mexico City and used our Slack as a contact for each other, like to have safe places to go and partners to go to places and stuff like that. I mean, shout out to Freddie in Orlando hosting people.
We got a Bessie lives in Mexico City, who was like giving everybody Rex. Shout out to Tom, was like hooking everybody up with Rex. So
we have a fantastic community over there. If you'd like to join it, and plus bonus shows come out over there, and it's just a great group of people. Shout out to them, because a lot of these guys have supported this team all the way through this campaign, traveling and everything like that. I mean, really, really good.
You know
work
what
over
should,
the,
we
by
should
the
get,
besties over there.
What we should commit to, Jared. I don't know how to make this happen. I'm actually going on vacation on Friday, so
awards.
Well, I was going to say, maybe we should commit to a bonus show in which we do really celebrate the U.S. getting back to the World Cup. And when I say celebrate, I mean like really celebrate.
A drunk show?
And see what happens, right? Right?
Well, he's going to be on the weekend for your boy.
Yeah. Look at this. This guy's been tolerating me for 7 to 8 years, Jared. That's what I call commitment and love. He's been tolerating me. It's great.
I guess the jury's still out on me.
Hey, you did quit for a while. I just want to say that. You kind of did
quit. I was fired. The show didn't exist.
That's actually true. Yeah, there was some stuff went down. It's a whole thing. All right, besties, go to the Patreon, patreon.com/thebestsoccershow. All the Twitter stuff, all that. Ratings and reviews, go leave us those as well. We'll hopefully get a bunch of those soon as we get closer. And look, man, if we get to take the ride from now to the World Cup and Qatar together, that'd be great. So join us for all of that. Anything else, Mr. Dubois? Does Mr. Super... Hey, Nick, do you want to come on and just acknowledge what happened tonight and maybe give your thoughts? I know I didn't tell this story yet, but we jumped on the broadcast before we went live. Jared was out of the room because he doesn't watch in the same room where he broadcasts. Nick had stepped aside but was clearly in the same area, because when they gave up the set piece goal at the end, I heard him cursing, like dropping F-bombs, and I was like, dude, it's 5-1. It's okay. It's okay.
That
came to
one goal.
I wanted a clean sheet, man.
I know the passion is deep with Mr. Soup and Sausage. Well, anyway, you've been here for the whole ride with us through this cycle, so we want to bring you on and thank you for everything that you've done. All those callers.
Yeah.
Nick's talked to every single one of those callers, except for maybe one time when I think somebody else stepped in. But we've done a bunch of shows on some pretty dark shows, and I'm kind of glad that we're at this moment. Right?
It's just an honor to be here to talk to not just YouTube and Morgan, but the besties who call in. I mean, they make this show. I mean, the post game shows are what I really look forward to, because this is where you get that all that interaction. Everybody wants to talk about what has happened. You get that immediate, instant reaction. And so, tonight was great. I mean, look, they're this close. I mean, it would be really something if, and I was just trying to think about this during the show. I don't think that Canada, the U.S., and Mexico have ever qualified for the same World Cup before, have they?
No.
So this would be a first.
I think Canada's only World Cup was 86, and we didn't go to that one.
And Mexico hosted that one, correct?
Hosted that one, yes.
Yeah.
So the North American countries, potentially, I mean,
We'll see. Ahead of the World Cup that we're all going to host
together.
North
America.
Is that like SEC? CONCACAF.
No, what's the trade organization? NAFTA.
Does that exist? I thought they killed that off. It doesn't exist, right?
I think somebody got mad about that.
I guess so. Drinking show should also be game show.
Ooh,
like drinking and games.
Yeah. But like, I'm in. Okay, well, maybe we'll do that. Maybe we'll talk about that. Yes, Morgan does deserve a shout out. I know, Jared, you already mentioned Morgan once, but thank you to Morgan Tensa for being part of this show too. She's in Orlando enjoying the festivities, I imagine. She hung out with, you know who she hung out with this morning, Jared? Did you see who she hung out with?
Oh, I heard.
Is that JTT?
OMFBG13, it's JTT this
morning. Breaking eggs with JTT in the morning.
There you go. All right, that's it. We're going to get out of here. Thank you very much for listening, guys, and we'll talk to you next time. Next week, maybe? We'll see.
Oh, it's incredible!
Michael freaking Orozco Fiscal!
You shut your mouth when you're talking to me.
Get to the chopper!
It was there.
Here we go, saucing him up. Hit him, what?
Go to DEFCON 2.
Yeah? So feel respect for the Gegner.
The Sausage King of Chicago.
J Rodeo.